Hello, everybody. Good morning and welcome to the United Stand. This is your latest Manchester United news and transfer news. Lots of good stuff going on this morning. A first real interest from Manchester United that I think you can put down to a credible source in relation to Manchester United wanting to sign Declan Rice, which I think is a real positive, although it's not plain sailing. It never would be plain sailing with Manchester United, and there are some important factors to deal with in relation to Declan Rice to Manchester United, regardless of how much they want Jesse Lingard. Also, a little bit about Haaland, a potential cooling of interest from Manchester United, which I think is good news. We've got Gary Neville's top three United transfer targets, which I think people will find very interesting. But look, I just want to say this as well. Just chill out, for God's sake. Everybody's got an opinion. I can see these bloody top red do-gooders again last night saying, oh, these people, I can see Goldbridge's moaning again when we've just won. I tell you what, Goldbridge has got a couple of eyes. I'm very happy that we won the game last night, but the football was shit, and I'm still going to say that. If that's what you think is good enough and you want to celebrate that, that's absolutely fine. It's called football opinion. Get on with it, but stop slagging other people off and being abusive because it doesn't fit your agenda. I am very happy with the result last night. The performance is shit, and it's been shit for a long time. I back this manager, but I warn this manager that he's going to lose his job. He is playing exactly the same, in my opinion, as the way we played 3 years ago under Mourinho, and he got the sack by Christmas. That football is possession-based football. It's like watching Serie A from the 90s. What we are doing is, and look, anybody out there who says that Solskjaer's got no tactics, they're a fool as well. We've got tactics. I know what the tactics are. If we've got the ball, they haven't got the ball. They can't hurt us. It's the same as Jose Mourinho. We are not bothered about moving the ball quicker because we'll lose the ball. What we are doing at United, we are playing a pragmatic possession-based football game. If we've got the ball, they haven't got it, they can't hurt us. We're not looking to, if you're a team that's trying to score goals, you're going to lose the ball quicker because you're going to try and pass it forward a lot. Unless you're someone like Man City who can pass it forward and keep the ball very, very well. What we are doing is we are looking after the ball. We're babysitting the ball. This is why we're taking one or two touches. We're controlling the ball and taking another touch before we pass it. We're not pinging it around because we're playing a possession-based game. It's pragmatic. It's boring. It's not Manchester United. If you like that, well done. I like the results. And that's the problem we've got at the moment, is that this style of football is getting the results. So why would the manager change it? I'm just saying, if he doesn't change it, results aren't enough at United if you're not winning a Premier League. You can't sit in second place with boring football and go, well, we're making progress. I might be wrong. I'm just saying, I don't think that's sustainable to play that brand of football and expect Man United fans to be happy. United fans want results and they want good football, just like Liverpool fans. It's something more at Manchester United. So if you like it, great. If you don't like it, great. If you're like me and you don't like it, but you want the manager to do well, great. But don't start moaning at people saying you're not a proper fan if you're not bloody doing cartwheels, singing Agadoo in your back garden after winning last night. It's called being a football fan. You've got an opinion, get on with it. And if you fall out with people or you abuse people because they've got a different opinion to you, maybe look in the mirror and look at why you're so angry and sad in your own life. It's called football opinion, people. Come on, we all want what's best for Manchester United. It's time to face the facts. Ollie hasn't made any progress on his predecessors. He's basically living off 99, nostalgia and willingness to protect and praise the owners in interviews, says Andre. And Tommy, West Ham's top attacking target, he definitely going to Chelsea as a seal the deal, says Tony. So they're talking about Tammy Abraham going to West Ham. Let's start off about Declan Rice then. So Declan Rice to Manchester United. This was in The Athletic yesterday, just before the game. I didn't talk about it because I wanted to talk about it this morning, because I think it's a very significant story that Manchester United are exploring the possibility of a Jesse Lingard, Declan Rice swap deal with money going to West Ham as well. Admirers of Declan Rice, definitely Man United are. We've known that for a while. But the first sort of concrete, credible story linking Manchester United to West Ham. Lots of excitement last night. What I would say about this, and I've got no reason not to believe this is true, and I've been told it by two or three people close to Chelsea and who have relationships with Declan Rice, is that Declan Rice has made no secret of the fact that he wants to play for Chelsea. He's a Chelsea fan. Mason Mount's one of his best mates in football. He wants to stay in London. He wants to go to Chelsea. That's what Declan Rice wants to do. Now, some United fans get very offended by this, and I'm sure the live comments will start pinging with people saying, Chelsea don't want him, though. And look, I'm not Declan Rice. I don't look like Declan Rice. I'm not Declan Rice. What I'm telling you is, Declan Rice wants to go to Chelsea. If Chelsea don't want him, we've got a chance. Of course we have. But if Chelsea decide they want him, then he's going to go to Chelsea over us. And that's the situation that United have. On top of that, would United spend the money on Declan Rice? I think that's a very important thing to consider as well. But would I want Declan Rice at United? Yes. I think if I was Declan Rice, I'd come to Manchester United, because at your age, 21, 22, I think he's 21 actually, and only just 21, captain of West Ham, one of the best CDMs in the Premier League, you've got a clear shot. You've got a shirt at Manchester United that's waiting for you. It's not like Van der Beek, who comes in and he can't get a game. Declan Rice has got a British passport. He's going to come straight into that Manchester United side. He's a potential captain of the future. He's a potential United great of the future. I mean, and Manchester United's a bigger club than Chelsea. So what an opportunity in a footballing sense that is. And I think he would quite like it if Chelsea don't want him. But the problem is, it's a bit like Ronaldo when he left Man United to go to Real Madrid. You can't deal with a player that wants to go and play for their dream club. And unfortunately for us, Declan Rice's dream move is Chelsea at the moment. So look, Chelsea might not want him. There are stories that Lampard was obsessed with him, and it's one of the reasons they got rid of Lampard. I don't think there's any truth in that. I think Lampard did want Declan Rice. Does their current manager want him? I don't know. If they don't want him, we've got a chance. If they do want him, we've got no chance. And that's just the way it is. And sometimes you are second best. We don't want to be second best, but sometimes you are. And I think Declan Rice is probably our number one CDM target. So let's see what happens. I would welcome him at Manchester United. I personally think it's a better move for his football career than Chelsea, because there's a designated position that he plays at United that he can have for years and years and years. At Chelsea, I don't think it's so clear. Will that manager of Chelsea be in charge in 18 months? Probably not. New manager comes in, maybe he's Italian, maybe he wants Tonali. So you just don't know. But he's going to go to Chelsea if they're interested. At the moment, Chelsea might not be interested. So look, I'll take the positives that we are linked to him. Hypothetically, if we do get Rice, there is going to be some serious lack of pace in the heart of defence. We would definitely need a pacey centre-back alongside, says George. Well, Declan Rice doesn't play centre-back, George. He plays CDM, but we do need a centre-back. Rice wants to stay in London. Chelsea don't want him. Only one club to come. Mate, he's ambitious. He's not going to go to Arsenal, for God's sake. What did he do last night? I saw Pepe got a goal and an assist, but it was 1-1. I don't know how does that happen? How does a £70 million winger get a goal and an assist, yet it's 1-1? Did he assist his own goal? I can't figure it out. If anyone knows how Pepe got a goal and an assist in a 1-1 draw last night, don't know. But good stats for Pepe. He's finally delivering. Right, look, if you don't get Declan Rice, you get Bissouma. I think we saw last week, for those people who haven't watched him this season, how good he could be. But I like Bissouma. And look, James Garner, Brighton on loan, do a deal for Bissouma. So there are other deals there. I think the main thing is that Manchester United need to bring a centre defence midfielder. I saw something this morning. I think Gary Neville was doing some sort of social Q&A, and he was said what positions should United need to sign, and he said striker, right winger and centre back. It's really interesting. I'd love to sit down and have a chat with someone like Gary Neville or a Paul Scholes or a Roy Keane or a Rio Ferdinand, or one of these ex-Man United players, and just have a proper football chat with them and say, you've played the game. Why are you saying we don't need a centre defence midfielder? I can see why you're saying we want a centre-back, because I agree we need a quicker centre-back, push us higher up the pitch. A right winger for creativity, I understand that, but maybe Ahmed could be that. We spent £35 million. A striker, okay, maybe we do need a striker, but I can't believe you've not said a midfielder. How can you not see what we're seeing? How do you think that a striker and a right winger makes United play better if they're not getting the ball quick enough? I mean, do you not watch the game last night, Gary? Did you not watch the game last night, Paul? Do you not watch the game last night, Roy? You know, we have been playing like this for weeks. We are playing crab football side to side to side to side. Why is a right winger and a striker going to make any difference to that performance last night? They won't get the ball. They're not going to get the ball. And a centre-back isn't going to make the ball go to the forwards quicker. We are dying in the midfield. Paul Pogba yesterday looked like he may as well have been bloody Paul Parker. He was in his 40s and retired years ago. There's just no point. There's no point to Pogba or Bruno yesterday. They're not doing what needs to be done. The ball is too slow. By the time they get it, everything's sorted in front of them. We're not moving that ball quick enough. We need a centre defensive midfielder who can dictate the play. And also, we need a leader. We need a leader in that central spine deep to get the tempo of the game going. It's way too slow. And Look, people will say, well, what do you know about football compared to anybody else? Well, look, I don't need to get into that argument. I'm not elitist. I don't give a shit about whether you've got 100 caps or you've got no caps. I've got a cap in my garden, in my wardrobe. You know, it doesn't mean anything because my opinion's as valid as anybody else's when we are talking about identifiable issues that Manchester United have. I don't see enough people talking about this other than on our watch along when we're sat physically watching Man United play and we're moaning about the way that we're playing football. It's so slow and side to side. How can you not say you need a Carrick, you need a Fabinho, you need a dictator of the ball in front of the back four demanding the ball off them? And I don't think people understand what I mean or what you mean. Lindelof and Maguire have got the ball and they're playing patter cake, Baker's man. To me, to you, to me, to you, right? I want a CDM saying, give me the fucking ball. Give me the ball now. And then I get the ball and I'm like, bloody yet move, you know, run the game from the midfield. That's what we need. We're so pragmatic. Possession-based football is what we're playing. Overprotective, possession-based football. If we've got the ball, the opposition haven't got it, so they can't score. And that's what we're doing. We're almost, you know, on the, you know, when you play Football Manager and one of the sliders is time waste. Hardly ever, a lot, always. United are basically on always. We're killing games off with possession. We're trying to get a goal and a clean sheet. And then if we can keep the ball with side-to-side passing, then the game drifts away. I was thinking about this last night. I mean, it's amazing because I could have gone to sleep quite easily during the game. But when I went to bed last night, I couldn't get to sleep thinking about the way United are playing. And I was like, this is not hard. It's basic tactics. It really is. If you wanted to play a better brand of football, you'd tell your players to move the ball quicker and get the tempo going. This is coming from the training ground. We are actually playing a pragmatic possession-based tactic. He has got tactics, and the tactic is nick a goal, keep a clean sheet, and then kill the game with possession. And that is why we're going side to side to side. That is why Bruno Fernandes and Paul Pogba, and we've seen Bruno, but we haven't seen it recently. Remember about 3 months ago when Bruno was getting more goals and assists, but then you get people like Ricky saying he's losing the ball too much. He stopped doing that. Bruno stopped getting the ball and trying to hit the killer pass as much as he used to. What he's doing now is he's getting the ball, he's controlling it, and he's passing it sideways or he's passing it backwards. This is coming from the training ground. Our tactic is get the ball, keep the ball. If you've got the ball, the opposition haven't got it. I don't want any risky quick passing. Take a touch, find a pass. I'll guarantee you this is being said to them in training. When you've got the ball, find an easy pass, take a touch, have a look, find an easy pass. This is what we're doing. This is the tactic. So don't moan about it. Well, you can moan about it, but don't pretend that we're trying to play anything else. We're not. We're playing a slow, possession-based game. And the reason we're doing it is we fancy ourselves to get a clean sheet. We fancy ourselves to get a chance. And we could have had 2 goals yesterday, 3 goals actually, because Bruno had a chance, didn't he? But if we keep the ball, it stops the opposition. That is what we're playing at United at the moment. So I don't understand how ex-players or any United fan can't demand that we need a centre defensive midfielder, because that is where we are struggling. The dictation of the game. Having said that, to be fair, if you bring in Declan Rice or you bring in Bissouma or you bring in Fabinho, if they're being told to take a touch and pass it sideways, they're not going to go rogue and start saying, sod that, that's not what I'm here for. And I think we're seeing that with Pogba and Bruno. Two players who can play a very different style of football are playing a very pragmatic, boring style of football because they're being told to do it, I think, in my opinion. And Bruno was invisible last night and so was Paul Pogba. So, you know, are they invisible because they had bad games or are they invisible because they're getting lost in a possession-based game that doesn't allow them to express themselves? So there you go. Declan and Harry are good mates, says Danny. Yeah, but look, he wants to go to Chelsea. We've got to hurt. If we can get past the fact that Chelsea don't want him, we've got a good chance of getting Declan Rice. And if we can't, then we haven't. It's simple as that. Minna says, already having Fred and McTominay, who the manager trusts more than anybody, why do you think United will sign a CDM? I think we'll see the return of the Mac. Once again, return of the Mac. Here it is. Return of the Mac. One more time. It's good. I think we're going to see return of McFred on Sunday. I think he will not play Pogba against Mourinho in the midfield. I think we're going to see... I've got a horrible feeling. I mean, it's not even the preview. We've got the press conference for Ollie at lunchtime. But I've got a horrible feeling that Monday morning, we're going to be talking about bouncing back. Spurs have had a whole week off. They need to win. We've played Thursday night. We've played our first team. I think he will go McFred, the back six, and try and hit them on the break. But remember, this is the Spurs side that beat us 6-1. and they're going to be fresh and they've got good play. I think if Spurs had played us last night the way we played, they would have beat us comfortably. So we're going to have to take some steps up on Sunday, and it's always difficult when you've played Thursday to Sunday. So I'm not saying we won't win, but I am quite worried about Sunday. I think many people know United are on the verge of a beating. Not necessarily a smashing. I just think we're on the verge of a beating. And look, that sounds weird because we did lose to Leicester a couple of weeks ago, but I just think in the league, we're due a loss. We're not playing well enough to justify the run we've been on. I mean, we've not been beaten in the league since January, have we? So I'm a bit worried about the game. And the freshness of Spurs is what worries me. I don't think Spurs are a great team. You could predict it's going to be quite boring, but... Lucas Glory, yeah, I think Gary Neville spoke about Varane, which I totally agree with him. I do agree with him on a centre-back, a right-winger and a striker. I just don't know why nobody's really mentioning us a midfielder, because I think that's the biggest problem. We don't create and we don't concede. Me to you to me. Special lunch offer, Rice with McSauce, Astray 79. I'd like to see McTominay play with Declan Rice, though, because I think McTominay with more freedom is a different player to McTominay who's playing as a CDM. He's not a CDM. Ollie's football seems to be the worst combination of Jose and LVG. McFred against Spurs, it's going to be drab. Not good for my mental health, says Michael Peralta. Right, let's talk about some other things. There is a story just coming, very, very quickly, I just want to cover this because it's about centre-back. There is a story coming in about Akanji from Sport Witness and Dortmund. He plays for Dortmund, he doesn't play for Sport Witness. About him wanting to come to Manchester United, and Dortmund might sell him if he expresses an interest in going. Akanji is a boyhood Manchester United fan, so he's been linked to us before. I don't want him. I really think it's very dangerous with Akanji, because people go, well, he plays for Dortmund, he must be brilliant. Dortmund are not in the top four in the Bundesliga. Like, somewhere in that Dortmund team, there is major problems. If we take for granted that Erling Haaland is one of the best strikers in the world, we take for the fact that Jadon Sancho is a fantastic winger, we take for a fact that Bellingham's having a great season, well, why are they not in the top four then? So you've got to look at their defence, and Akanji plays in their defence. I don't want him at United. I don't think he's anywhere near proven enough. I mean, Khalid says he's also injury prone. I just don't think he's good enough. You know, oh, he's a Dortmund player and he wants to come United, let's sign him up. He's not a player that I would put in my top 10, so I don't want him coming to United anyway. Not to say, doesn't mean he's not going to be a good player in the future, but as of right now, he's not. We need far better than that. We spend loads of the game basically time-wasting by passing it around the back. No risk in our game. Sad to see. Centre-backs spend too much time on the ball, says Nick. Well, that's basically what I just said, Nick. We are playing. You know, I think you have a responsibility as a football fan. If you want to get it, if you want to talk about football in an in-depth way, you need to analyse the game like many of us do. And, you know, I was thinking about it last night and I was like, we used to be a counter-attacking team, soak up pressure and hit on the break. We're still capable of doing that, but we've actually evolved. The tactic has evolved now. We've become a possession-based team. We're very like the Italian teams of the 90s where... You know, you used to get 2 points in the... If anyone can remember, Serie A used to get 2 points for a win at one point. So a draw was a brilliant result in Italian football because you only get 2 points for a win. So it's like a draw is a good result. And loads of teams used to play like we play now. Very tight games, lots of nil-nils, 1-0s, 1-1s. And United are playing like that. They're getting a lot of clean sheets without actually defending that well. We're keeping the ball. We are taking the game... We're taking the sting out of the game. Effectively... It's an elaborate way of time wasting, keeping the ball and keeping it simple. Did someone say Declan Rice is good friends with Maguire? Believe me, every CDM who bubble wraps centre backs are Maguire's friend. Even the streaker is, says Shake. Bit of banter on a Friday morning there. On Erling Haaland, just a little bit to bring in there. So Erling Haaland, ESPN are saying that there is a cooled interest in Manchester United's interest in Haaland, and that they feel justified in not going for Haaland 18 months ago because look at the demands again. There is a feeling that Raiola's camp around Haaland basically just want to generate a market around him every couple of years and then go on a tour trying to get the money, which is what they're doing now. So I think United aren't wrong there. I mean, look, we should have got Erling Haaland a year ago if we wanted him, but it's not going to change. It's just going to become even more of a circus. What's basically happened is Haaland is a Dortmund player and may well be a Dortmund player next year if Raiola can't get the money. But, I mean, how much of a piss take is it for Dortmund that he might be there next year if no one wants him, but they're allowing Raiola to go on a tour of Europe trying to get someone to buy him, trying to get some sort of bidding war going? And that's Dortmund's player. Imagine he comes to United in the summer and in a year and a half, United are still not doing that well, but Haaland's scoring loads of goals and Haaland and Raiola's off on a tour of Europe trying to generate interest for him to leave us. It's a circus. I mean, maybe it's the modern world, but it's a circus. And for the money that's being talked about and the future that we would have, there is no way Erling Haaland would stay at this club for longer than 3 years. So, and as I said last night, again, another example of about 20 this season, where if you play for number nine for Man United, it doesn't matter whether you've got bloody NASA rocket launchers in your bloody boots. You're not gonna get the service at United. So I think United need to move on from Erling Haaland, but we won't move on. It's going to keep getting mentioned, but we do need to move on from it because it's just not the right deal for us, and we need to stay away from it. We need to stay away from it big time, but we won't. We'll keep being attached to it. Please subscribe, by the way. We're very close to 14,000, 1,014,000. So please subscribe, bottom right-hand corner, and smash a like on the video. I mean, just one thing I didn't mention in relation to the Declan Rice deal. Manchester United exploring a swap deal for Declan Rice and Jesse Lingard. Obviously, this would involve some money, because I think Declan Rice's value is probably anywhere around £60 million, whereas Lingard, with 1 year left on his contract, is somewhere around 25. So there'd have to be money and Lingard as well. The issue with Lingard is that West Ham really, really want him, but there's no shortage of takers for Lingard, which is good, because obviously he's played very, very well for West Ham. There's a feeling that West Ham won't be able to get him if they don't get European football as well. But if they get European football, Declan Rice might not leave. So it's a double-edged sword in relation to United fans. There probably is a swap deal that could be done with Declan Rice if he decided he wanted to come to United and Jesse wanted to go to West Ham. But would Jesse go to West Ham if they don't have European football? Would Declan Rice leave this summer if they don't have European football? So there are lots of things and permutations involved in it. There will be other clubs that want Jesse Lingard as well. So my feeling is that this is a deal that won't happen, even though I think it would be a very good deal for Manchester United. I don't see it happening at all. Would you bring Andrea Herrera back, says Akshat? No. Andreas Herrera should never have been allowed to leave in the first place. I'm getting him mixed up with Andreas Pereira. He can stay wherever he is. Lazio, keep him. Thanks for the contribution, John. I wouldn't take Andrea Herrera back now, because that would be ridiculous. I mean, we've missed 2 years of Ander Herrera at Man United, where he could have been very, very valuable to us. The funny thing is, I think with Ander Herrera, you look at how poor our midfield is, and we could have had Ander Herrera, who's basically a bench player for PSG. It's ridiculous that... I remember at the time, there were certain people saying, well, you know, Herrera's not that good, we can get a better player. And I said at the time, you're right, but what if we don't get a better player in? And we didn't get a better player in. I don't think we brought anybody in. So we let Herrera walk out the door. Not only was that about 25 million walking out the door, but it was also one of our best players walking out the door, and we never replaced him. So I wouldn't take him back now, because we've lost those 2 years, but we never should have let him go. To me, it doesn't get mentioned enough. It's always all 80 million on Maguire, or how much did we spend on Sanchez, or the Phil Jones contract, or whatever. I still think allowing Ander Herrera to walk out the door for nothing has to rank up there with one of the top three idiotic decisions our board has made over the last 8 years. And they've made quite a few. You couldn't do a top 10. You'd have to start with a top 50. The way we are playing football, just so lifeless and negative. I used to not be Ollie out, but now I'm definitely Ollie out, and coaching team as well. Ollie showed me he has got no class at all. Well, I mean, I don't have a problem with people saying that, because it's your opinion. I can't do anything about it. If I was trying to convince you the other way, I would say we are second in the league. I think he's done fantastically well. I said at the start of the season we wouldn't get top four, and it would take a miracle to get in the top four. So I can't contradict that. I think he's done fantastically well results-wise to get us where we are. We are in a Europa League semi-final, I believe, now. I mean, look, let's not get too carried away. If Granada could find some finishing boots, they could turn up to Old Trafford and beat us 3-0. But I don't really think that will happen. So I think we're into the semi-final. And then it's a big test for Ollie, because you can finish second, but if you bottle another semi-final, it's going to be very, very difficult to keep winning fans back. What Solskjaer needs to do is win fans back. And when I see comments like that, it's worrying, because that's a fan who was Ollie out going... Ollie in, who's gone Ollie out. Now, they might be being dramatic. They might not be really Ollie out. They might be Ollie in. They might have always been Ollie out. I don't know. But I definitely think that if you've had a set of scales like that, Ollie in, Ollie out, at the moment, you know, it's very evenly balanced. I think some people would say we're second in the league. That's good. Some people would say the football's bad. Its scales are like that. If we're second in the league and we lose the Europa League semi-final, I think it starts to tip towards Ollie out again. If we start that next season badly playing this brand of football, it goes more like that. I think that's the problem with Solskjaer. I sort of sit on this side of Ollie in that we're doing, you know, where we are in the league is good. What happens in the summer is very important, and how he starts next season is very important. But it won't take much for me to start, you know, going that side to Ollie out. I think there's a lot. That's the problem Solskjaer's got. I mean, I don't really care what people say about what I think. I can look at the situation. I can read loads of comments. I can read social media. And I think that it's very clear that there's a lot of support for Ollie, and there's a lot of frustration, I suppose, as well. That's not balanced. If you think about Pep Guardiola with Man City fans, all right, they might only have four, but four of them are backing Pep. You think about Klopp, I think the vast majority are behind Klopp. Ollie's in a great position, but it's very balanced with the fan base, and that can tip one way or the other very quick. Look, if we get second and we win the Europa League, we have a good summer and we start the season really well, that's going to go massively Ollie in. It can go both ways, but it's finely balanced. And you can get angry if you're an Ollie in here and say these people are knobheads who are saying Ollie out. You can get angry if you're an Ollie outer and say that these people are Ollie in are stupid. But, you know, your opinion's your opinion. The general consensus, I believe, is very, very balanced. And as a manager, that's you need to take that as a warning, because, you know, maybe Ole Gunnar Solskjaer sat there now having his Special K or his Cocoa Pops. And he's going, you know, Carricky, we're doing really, really well. And Michael Carrick's going, well, to be honest, Ollie, we are doing really well, but perception-wise, we're not. And that, you know, football's very political, isn't it? Not in a political way, but in relation to, you know, general elections, this, that, and the other popularity polls. At the moment, Ollie would probably feel, as the Prime Minister of the UK or the President of America or whatever, I'm doing really well. We're second in the league, and we're into the semi-final of a tournament nearly. I'm doing really well. Why don't people love me? And the popularity polls are like, well, some people really do, some people don't. And I think in football, it's an entertainment business. It's like making a film. If you make a film, I don't know, bloody Spider-Man 4, and it bombs in the bloody cinemas, then that you've got to look at why that's happening. Ollie's in an entertainment business. You've got to entertain. The clue's in the thing. It's an entertainment business, football. You've got to entertain. What was it Sir Alex Ferguson said? Something along the lines of, my duty of Manchester United manager is to entertain the fans. Absolutely spot on. We're not being entertained. And got a bit of, I think it's like a skin from an oat. He's got to entertain the fans. It's not a warning. It's a fact. You've got to entertain the fans. There are United fans out there who will back Ollie to the hilt, and I love and admire them, because that sort of loyalty is fantastic. I won't back Ollie to the hilt. I wish I had that in me. I'm not. I back him now, but there will be a point where I'll become Ollie out. I'm not going to pretend that that's not the case. There will be. I hope there never is, but there will be. Because that's just the way it is. And he has to find a way of playing better football, because if he doesn't, then... And I would say to those people who are backing Ollie and waking up this morning and saying, what was wrong with last night? Well, what was wrong with what Mourinho did 3 years ago? Because I don't remember any protests outside Old Trafford. I was outside Old Trafford the morning that Jose Mourinho got sacked. It was horrible. It was windy. There's a video out there. My hair's blowing all over the place. I definitely don't wear a wig, because if I had, it would have come off that morning. It was chucking it down with rain. It was windy. I didn't see one banner from anybody saying justice for Jose. Nobody was out outside Old Trafford saying justice for Joe's Day. Nobody really on social media was doing it. So how can there be fans now saying last night was good, Brighton was good, the football we've been playing over the last few weeks has been good, get behind the manager, the football's good. There are people saying that on social media, but I'm like, why did we sack Mourinho then? And they'll say, oh, because we were losing games. He just finished second in the league. Did he not deserve a little bit more patience? Everybody turned on him for exactly the same brand of football. So this is my point. I'm behind Ollie because we're second in the league. But I'm not going to be blindly behind Ollie with that brand of football. It's got to improve. And if it doesn't improve, that balance is going to swing against him. These realistic signings we should make this summer, says Jays. Oh, three realistic signings. We acknowledge Ollie hasn't been given the players we wanted, yet here we are complaining and acting surprised when he can't impose his style, says Jimmy Garner. And do you think Ollie's tactics right now is because of the type of players he has now? Do I think any signings we would potentially make change his style? I think that's two very good super chats there, and we'll bring Jays into that as well. So in essence, what three realistic signings can we make? Well, there's loads of three realistic signings. You know, Varane, Koundé, Pau Torres at centre-back, Bissouma, Declan Rice at CDM. On the right wing, you could go for Sancho, you could go for Saar. There are plenty of options in lots of different positions. It's about what United go for. The other two Super Chats about, well, how can Ollie play his brand of football when he hasn't got the players that he wants? I think you're half right. I think you're balanced again. He wanted Upamecano and Sancho in the summer. Would they make us better? Yes. But on the other side of the coin, yesterday you've got Pogba and Bruno playing together. Should you not be playing a better brand of football with those two? Should you be sending a team out to play pragmatic, possession-based football? Should you be telling your players to pass it sideways, control it, have a look and keep it simple? That's what we're doing. I'm 99% sure that's what we're doing because that's what we are doing. You cannot come out after a game and say the tempo wasn't slow because I could get the tempo of that United team up in 5 seconds. You run to the touchline, you shout at Maguire and you say, stop side-to-side passing and move the ball quicker, one touch. And then if they're not doing it half-time, you'd give them more. We are purposely going out, passing the ball and telling our players to take a touch, have a look, take another touch if you need to, if you're not under any pressure and play a simple pass. That is on the coaches. That is not about players because I can see Brighton with players nowhere near as good as us playing better football. And that's the problem Solskjaer's got. You're absolutely right that he's not been backed and got the players that he wants. Having said that, we've seen Rochdale come to Old Trafford and play better football than us. We've seen Derby do it under Mourinho. We've seen Brighton last week. Teams without the players that we've got are playing good football. You go down to the Championship, you go down to League One, you will see managers in those leagues playing better football than we are because they are playing more expressively. There is an excuse that we've not backed our managers over the last 8 years, but there's also a responsibility on the managers to get the best out of what they've got with a United style of football. You can't totally make excuses for either side. There's always two sides to a story. I agree Solskjaer hasn't been backed properly and he needs backing this summer, but I also agree that he could be playing a more expansive style of football. At the moment, it's very safe. It's almost time-wasting football. So there's always two sides on that one. Great couple of comments, though. Did we get a miracle? Chelsea's team's not gelling, Liverpool injuries, Man City blip, and some of our individual brilliance is a miracle, says Urshan. I think the way we play football is not miraculous. We're not lucky. I even said it yesterday, lucky Ollie scores again with Rashford. It's not luck, though, is it? We're playing tight, possession-based football, and we're looking to nick a goal, and that's what we did. It's not really luck. The reason we're calling it lucky is because the football's boring, but we're still winning. So you start saying, well, he's so lucky to keep winning. He's not lucky. It's just, what it actually is, we're making an excuse. We're going, well, we don't deserve to win that game. We're lucky. We do deserve to win the game. We're just not winning the game the way we want to. We're not conceding. We're keeping hold of the ball and it's very boring and then we're nicking a goal. What we're doing as human beings is we're converting that into we don't deserve to win, we're lucky. We're not, realistically, even I can admit I do that. It's a subconscious thing. When you actually analyse it, we're not lucky. We do deserve to win last night. We scored more goals than them. And Bruno should have scored another one. It was offside though. But it's what actually is we're kidding ourselves. We do deserve to win. We're not lucky. It's just the football's crap. So we're justifying that we're lucky because we don't like the football. And that's the truth. We're doing really well this season. What we don't want to say is what I'm about to say now. We're doing really well this season. And Ollie does deserve a new contract. But the football's absolutely crap and we hate it. That's the truth. What people want to do to justify it is, oh, Ollie's shit, get rid of him. He doesn't know what he's doing, get rid of him. That's not the truth. The truth is, he's not lucky. He does know what he's doing. He is doing really well. We just can't stand the football. And that's the conflict we're having. And some people are Ollie out because of it. And some people are like, Ollie in, but please play good football. But that's the truth. We're not lucky. We have got tactics. We just can't bloody stand the tactics. And it's a bit like Arsenal under George Graham, if anyone can remember. My problem is not Ollie out, but the hate and anger is too much. Jose was not in the second and in the semi-final. Koundé, Berg and Sancho. Jose was not in second and in the semi-final. Harold, you might want to check your bloody facts there. We came second 3 years ago and we weren't in the Europa League semi-final because we got knocked out of the Champions League. So, I mean, what if you go 3 years ago, who's in the better position? Mourinho got more points. I think he had a better team and he got knocked out in the Champions League knockout stages. Ollie's only having a better season because he got knocked out in the Champions League earlier and he can win the Europa League. We're in exactly the same position as we were 3 years ago, playing a very similar brand of football. And we all know what happened 6 months later. That's the warning. People say Brighton and lower teams play better football. It's very simple. If they take a risk and lose, so what? If Ollie does, he loses his job. That's a great point, Jimmy Garner. That is a great point. I think I said it last night. Ollie is running scared as well. He knows that balance is there. He's a very clever guy. I said this last night. He knows the balance is there. So do you want to take more of a risk and maybe lose and get more Ollie outers? Or do you want to just keep it boring and try and nick results and keep the balance there and hope that in the future you can build something out? And that's what I'm hoping is going to happen. So I do agree with you there. I think ever since the Poch rumours in the autumn, he's tried to grind games out. Harold Hosfersvold says, when he got Fred fired, not season before. But I'm not talking about when Mourinho got fired. I'm talking about... What's the point of me talking about Mourinho getting fired? Because that's not 3 years ago. I'm talking exactly 3 years ago when we finished second and we were in a very similar situation to now. Why would I talk about him getting fired? Because I'm actually talking about the warning. 3 years ago, second in the league, exactly the same position. And 6 months later, he got sacked. Why did he get sacked? He didn't get the summer he wanted and the players turned on him and the fans turned on him. It's a warning to Ollie. You might think you're in a good position. If you don't get the summer you want and you don't change the way we're playing, you'll be gone by Christmas. That's what I'm talking about, Harold. Obviously, I know why Mourinho got the sack and I agreed with why Mourinho got the sack. But there's a big warning sign there. Sorry, I meant bad foundation. Although I like watching other European football lately since I don't fall asleep, says Red Baron. I'm fine. Ollie is settling with these tactics now, but he needs to change tactics with the summer. The board can help with this, getting a mobile CDM, says Pratosaurus. Yeah, I mean, look, effectively, there's no excuse not to play good football now. But I think it will be judged next season, you're right. And yeah, we need to see what happens with that. What else did I want to talk about? Ollie singled Lindelof out for the game. And I think he was my man of the match anyway. Also, Marcus Rashford, very interesting comments about Rashford. Don't know what you thought about this. He said that we're continually looking at the situation day to day and managing it. When he feels pain, he'll tell me and we come off. So Marcus Rashford last night, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. David says we're delaying the inevitable with Ollie anyway. But Marcus Rashford last night, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer absolutely got it right. Do I agree with it? No, but they got it right. And you've got to say, you can't criticise when they get it right. They got it right. Rashford scored the goal. We won the game. Ollie got him off after about an hour and it was right. He's back in contention for the Spurs game, but absolutely 100% he's carrying an injury. And the interesting thing is, what injury is it he's got? They're talking about his shoulder injury again. For me, it's not the shoulder, it's the ankle. He's walking around not right. So, and we saw with Granada yesterday, they targeted him. This is part of the game. You might not like it, but it's part of the game. On Sunday, Mourinho will definitely be saying to people, if you can get a 50-50 with Rashford, leave a little bit in on his ankle. That's the way it's going to be. It's not very nice, but it's true. I don't know what the situation is with Rashford, and I thought about it again last night, and it's like, what if the medical staff have said, look, Rashford either needs an operation and he won't be playing again until August, or you play him through the pain barrier and that's the choice that's been made. Maybe Rashford's like, I don't want an operation. I want to go to the Euros. I'll play with the pain. You don't know. But ultimately, the world knows that we're playing Marcus Rashford injured and he's having to pain manage the game. That is sad on many levels because it shows that there's no trust in the squad. It shows that we can't cope without Marcus Rashford. But let's take it away from Rashford for a minute. Imagine if it was Bruno. We'd do the same. If it's Luke Shaw, we'd do the same. If it's Harry Maguire, we'd do the same. So it's not really about Rashford. It's about the situation at United, isn't it? Take it away from Marcus Rashford because I ain't got a problem with Rashford. If I was Rashford, I'd want to play as well. Injured or not, you want to play. It's more a problem of this rotation, isn't it? We don't trust our bench. And if you're sat on that bench and you're Amad Diallo or you're Donny van der Beek or whoever's Martial when he gets back fit, you're like, bloody hell, how bad do these coaches think I am if they would rather play Rashford and risk him being out for the season for an hour? But we would do it with Maguire, we would do it with Shaw, and we would do it with Bruno. It's a risk. It's a risk. And it's not a risk I'm comfortable with for two reasons. One, because it feels like you're playing a sword fight with a breadstick. How long until that breaks and I haven't got a breadstick anymore? And two, the problem because he's injured is he might have a game where he doesn't play very well, which is what we've seen over recent weeks. And you're like, well, people are going to go in on him, but he's not playing anywhere near his level. So how is that fair? It's not fair on him. It's not fair on us. It's not fair on the fans. So it's not fair on the team. So it's a difficult situation, but it worked last night. So I hope it works on Sunday because it's clearly what we're going to keep doing. Please smash a like on the video, everybody. Let's see if we can get to 2,000 likes. And make sure you subscribe, bottom right-hand corner. We're 50 away from 14,000. So thanks to everyone who's getting involved. I thought this was a song. It's from Abdullah. If you're happy with Ollie, then don't cry when Rashford and Bruno are done by the time they're 28, says Abdullah. I thought he was going to say, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. I'm not clapping my hands. For the past 32 years, I've been supporting Man United. It's really sad to see how our club is now. From owner to manager to players, I'm nearly 60. Depressing to watch those boring games in the middle of my night, says Mini 19. The thing for me is it's so interesting, but it's so obvious that United fans, it's not just about winning. It's about performing. And when we brought Jose Mourinho in, I think we all knew Mourinho played crap football, but we were like, we need to win a title. And then he didn't win a title, and it was like, get out. And yet here we are 3 years later, and we're still playing that brand of football. And you'd think somebody within the club would learn that, hold on a minute. I mean, it's almost like there might be a board meeting this morning. I've called an emergency board meeting. Carricky, Ollie, Phelan, Judge, Murta, Fletcher, sit down. I've just figured something out. Breaking news. If we play good football, our fans will like us more. Do you really think that's it? Yeah, I've been watching some old DVDs from the 80s and the 90s. If we play good football, the fans will like us more. I was reading some vlogs, and apparently this football club has a history of playing really good football, and it's really important to the fans. If we play good football, they'll like us more. Oh, I don't know about that. Try it at the weekend, see what happens. We beat Spurs 4-3. Well, I'd rather win 1-0. But they loved it. They absolutely loved it. We've done it. Forget the new sponsor for pants. We found out that if you don't play pants football, the fans will love us. And we seem to have lost that over the last 8 years. On a serious note, we do. We seem to have lost the fact that this football club is more than results. And also, if you play good football, you're going to get good results. Because it can happen. I watched Bayern Munich against PSG the other night and I was like, oh my God, Bayern played so well. How did they lose that game? But that very rarely happens. You're not going to be in the relegation zone with fans going, well, we're in the relegation zone, but we've played well every week. If you play good football, you're going to win football matches. And we've lost that identity over the last 8 years. The Manchester United way. I mean, sometimes that's a bit mythical, but to me, it's very important. But what the Manchester United way is, entertaining football. And entertaining football is all-encompassing. Entertaining football could be many ways. I think United, to me, are bombing on down the wings, people getting in the box, putting crosses into the box, risk-based football. But it doesn't have to be that. You could evolve what entertaining football is. So we spoke about Rashford there. Rice for Lingard, opinion, Haaland, Torres. ESPN talking about Pau Torres for €50 million, which is £45 million. As a left-sided centre-back. Wouldn't be surprised if we did that. We spoke about Akanji as well. So there we go. We're back again at 1:30 for the Ole Gunnar Solskjaer press conference reaction for Spurs. It changes from Europa to Premier League football very, very quickly. This is a big game on Sunday, so very interested to see what's available. I mean, this is the downside of playing Rashford last night. He gets 2 days off and he's playing again on Sunday. So it's a very, very quick turnaround for United. The problem is our style of football looks very tired anyway. I don't know whether we're physically tired, but the way we're playing is quite tired. Spurs with a full week off. Bad result last week. They've got to win against us. It's going to be a difficult game, I think, but we'll see how it goes. Join me at 1:30 for the press conference reaction. Have a good day. Stay safe. Smash a like on the video and I'll speak to you all soon. Thank you for watching.